Good morning. I hope you're all having a good morning. If you'd like to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for our text this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Let's pray and we'll commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we have opportunity, Lord, to preach your word, Lord, to open your word. Do pray, Lord, that this time would be a blessing, Lord, and also a challenge to some this morning. Lord, I just ask for your help, Lord, to deliver your word to the people, Lord, and I just ask for a blessing this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to speak to you this morning as we work through our text about our hope, the hope we have, the hope of eternal life. Our text this morning starts, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." Let's first look at why we have this "but" here. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and this chapter is given to speak about the resurrection, and one of the reasons is because there are some in the church there at Corinth that said there is no resurrection of the dead. If we go back to verse 12, we'll read verses 12 and 13. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." Paul is writing to the church here to confront error that is in the church. He starts off the chapter 15, by telling again what he had already told them. Paul writes in verses 1 to 4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He then tells the brethren there that if Christ has not risen from the dead, our preaching is vain. Our preaching is in vain. Let's read from verses 12 through to 19. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, if we are found false, yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If Christ had not risen, our faith is vain. If Christ be not risen, the preaching in this church is pointless. It is a waste of time. What hope do we have of eternal life in Jesus Christ if he himself is not risen? What hope could we give others if we ourselves had no hope? The preaching of this church would be lies. It would be false witness of God, because here at Grace Baptist Church we do preach the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Christ is raised from the dead. If Christ be not raised, he is not the Saviour of the world. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Verse 19 there says, if in this life only we hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. This verse makes me think of those that have their faith in evolution. They have no hope. They have nothing to look forward to. They live for the now. They don't think of eternity. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins, and would be of all men miserable. And we would be, but there's a but. And that's why we have this but. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Contrary to what we just read, contrary to what these church at Corinth, some had said there, Jesus has risen from the dead. So our preaching, the preaching in this church is not vain. Our preaching that Christ is risen is not false witness before God. Our hope of eternal life is sure. It is secure. Jesus Christ is my Saviour and the Saviour of the world. In verse 18 there, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18, implies a promise is attached to the resurrection. It says, then they also which have fallen asleep are in Christ are perished. This statement is only correct if Christ be not risen. But now Christ is risen, so those which are fallen asleep in Christ are not perished. They have eternal life. The resurrection is the guarantee that there is eternal life. The resurrection is of Christ is a guarantee for us that we will too be resurrected. It is a proof also that God was pleased, satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of the dead. I want to speak to you with you for a moment about Jesus being the first fruits of the dead. We see also in verse 23 of our text the word first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15:23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Now, through the New Testament, it is true that the term first fruits is used to describe saints. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Revelation 14:4, speaking of the 144,000, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Here it is used in relation to redemption. In other places it's used differently when speaking of saints. But when we see it used with Christ, it is only used in connection with the resurrection. He is the first fruits. This is speaking of his bodily resurrection, in that he was the first to rise from the dead. Now, for those of us that read our Bible, we know that there have been others prior that were raised from the dead. We might think of Lazarus, who just a short time, probably within 14 days prior to the crucifixion, was commanded to come forth, and Jesus raised him from the dead, John chapter 11. Or we might think of the only son of the widow lady outside the city of Nain, Luke chapter 7, that Jesus raised from the dead. And others in the Old Testament, like the son of the Shunammite woman. But here, it speaks of Jesus being the first to rise, the first fruits of the resurrection. Here it is speaking of with an incorruptible body. Jesus Christ was the first to receive a resurrected, glorified body, an incorruptible body, a body that could no longer see death or taste death. This he received the day he rose from the grave. Those that were raised before did not receive an incorruptible body that would no longer taste death, but were raised from the dead still with their mortal body. In verse 23, it says, "And at his coming, we that are Christ's," that's those who are born again, "we that are born again, we will receive our glorified body, an incorruptible body, a body that will no longer be tempted with sin, no longer tainted with sin, never again to taste death." And we have this hope, don't we, brethren? It is for this hope that Paul stood in front of Felix and King Agrippa, because he believed in the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he preached this unto the world. Let's go back to our text in verse 22. It tells us, "For as in Adam, all died." Romans 5:12 says it this way, "Wherefore, by as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Because of Adam and our unity with him, we are his offspring. We are in Adam. We are in him, speaking of our relationship with Adam before we come to Christ. When we are saved, we are in Christ. He is our representative. But before we're saved, Adam is our representative. We are in Adam. "For as in Adam, all die." The Bible says, "Because of this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." When Paul is addressing the most noble Felix, he states there that there will be a resurrection for the just and for the unjust. A resurrection unto life and a resurrection unto death. Those that are part of the resurrection unto death are those that are not in Christ. They are still in Adam. After their resurrection and the appearing at the great white throne, they are cast into the lake of fire. They are those that have no hope. They are without God now and will be without God for all eternity. At some point in time, we were also without Christ. Ephesians 2:12, "that ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now we have hope. Now and forever we are with God." Verse 22 there, we see that in it also it says that in Christ shall all be made alive. To be in the resurrection unto life, you must be found in Christ. How do I be in Christ so that I am made alive, you might ask? Well, he must be in you if you are to be in him. You must be born again, the Bible says. Jesus said it in John chapter 3, verse 3 through to 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. We might say that which is born of Adam is Adam. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Jesus said, The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Have faith to be in Christ. We must believe the gospel. We read it already this morning in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. By grace are ye saved through faith. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Faith in the gospel. The scriptures prophesy of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Then you will be in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, There is therefore no condemnation for Romans 8:1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We that are in Christ have this great hope, and we can be sure about it, because the inerrant, infallible Word of God tells us. 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 13, speaks to us about a hope that we have compared to those that are not Christ's, and that at his call we will be with him forevermore. Those which are dead in Christ shall rise first, then us who remain. Verse 18 in 1 Thessalonians 4 there says, Comfort one another with these words. Brethren, I want to bring you some comfort today, this morning, and remind you of that hope we have. Don't lose sight of that blessed hope that one day soon will come. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That'll be a glorious day, won't it? Amen. I'm looking forward to that day when no longer I think things I shouldn't, or have bad attitudes, or be tempted in sin. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day when I too will have a resurrected body, incorruptible. And I hope you're looking forward to that day. I hope you're longing for that day. There are those that have been saved much longer than I have that long for that day. But we can wait if it means that someone else will come to Christ. We can wait if it means that more will be added under the church, that more will be found in Christ. The resurrection is our hope, our promise. Paul said in Acts 26, Sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. Do you have this hope this morning? The hope that is laid up in heaven. Be of good cheer. It shall be written. It shall be as it is written. Believe God. I'm going to close now and hand back to Pastor. I hope that some of this may have challenged you this morning, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you. I have really only just scratched the surface of the resurrection and the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we know that today, that Jesus Christ is the life, for he lives this day. Let's pray, and I'll pass it back to Pastor. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the resurrected Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for his justification. Pray, we thank you, Lord, for his death, burial, and resurrection for our sins, Lord. And we thank you in his precious name. Amen.